Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday, December the 28th, 2021. Won't be saying that for much longer. 18 minutes past the hour. New Year's Eve is just 4 days away, and then we will move into 2022, and then guaranteed for the first month of the new year, every time I give you the date in the morning, I'll give you the wrong year. That just is something that goes on every year in radio. You get stuck saying the same thing over and over. Glad to be back with you after the big Christmas holiday. I had a great, great time. Went to three different Christmas gatherings over the Christmas holiday. Enjoyed it. Hope your Christmas was great. Asked a lot of questions about the Geraldo interview on Friday, and at some point over the next few days, I will fill in the gaps on all of that. But joining us back here in the studio as we kick off this week after the holiday week, before we head into another holiday, New Year, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, always glad to have her in the studio. Mary Ellen, how were the holidays?
Well, they were great, Scott. It's always an enjoyable time, especially with family and everything.
How do the holidays here compare with holidays in Washington?
Well, it's harder for your family to be there.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the big thing about being with your family is having everybody there. And that wasn't always possible. So that's what's different.
You know, we talked a lot during the holiday season about, for a lot of people, it's not a happy time. They have lost people. People aren't, they can't be close to their relatives,
yes,
because
right.
of location,
yeah.
financial problems. They can't buy gifts. Have you ever found the holidays to be difficult, or can you always get to the spirit of it all?
Well, yeah, we usually get to the spirit. We had a little difficult time this year, but because of my son-in-law passing, and it made it a lot different than what we had expected, but everybody's fine, and it's all over, so.
Thank goodness.
Yes, you're right.
You know, when you look at and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but when you look at people who come and go, I think last year Norm left us after so many years.
No, it was this year.
Oh, this year.
Yeah.
So this was the first Christmas without.
Yes.
Was
yeah.
that different for you in any way?
Well, he had been in a nursing home for, you know, almost 2 years. And so he hadn't, you know, been living with me, which made a big difference. It was easier for me to accept everything, I think, because of that.
So when it comes to dealing with that on the holidays, what advice would you give somebody on how to still be okay, still have an okay season?
Yeah, just enjoy everybody else that's still here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the funny thing was, we were talking before we went on the air, you can have an older person who you might think might be the likely candidate not to be around next year, but then all these young people are leaving us,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately,
yeah,
sometimes
right.
accidental.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
That's right. Nobody knows.
2022, Mary Ellen, what do you think of this year we're about to head into?
Well, I'm looking forward to it. We'll see what it's like. Hopefully it'll be better than, things will get better, you know.
What have you made of this pandemic over the holidays that last Tuesday, I guess we had the highest day of diagnosed cases in Ohio in the history of the pandemic?
It's a real concern, I'll tell you. I think, you know, I just hope everybody gets vaccinated and then they don't get as sick.
When we really look at this, why are the numbers so low? I still don't think we're at 50% in Ohio.
I don't know why either, but we should try to keep from getting sick. I think everybody would want to do that.
You would think so, and it's sad in a way because so many people are ending up in the hospital.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's the last place you want to be for the holidays.
That's right.
Or any other time of year for that matter.
That's right.
Do you think that this pandemic in some way has awoken people to the work that people in hospitals do?
Oh, I think so. I think we're very appreciative of everything that they've done. They've had a terrible time all this long, long period of time that we've had this, and they've just been having to work so hard. It's too bad that this has happened that way, you know.
Do you make New Year's resolutions?
No, I don't anymore. I used to. It was always try to lose weight or something, but I gave up on that. I don't need to, really.
No. Did you ever have anything in your life that was not a big problem, but just one of those things like people, you know, some people want to quit smoking, some people want to lose weight, some people want to go to the gym more often. Did you ever have those sort of things besides lose weight?
Well, I always wanted to keep swimming, and that was one thing. And now I'm not swimming, but I'd kind of like to be.
you know what's funny? I think the number one New Year's resolution always is weight. But you never had a weight problem.
No, I used to weigh a little bit more than I do now, but no, I never had a problem. Yeah.
Did you ever have a method for losing weight if you needed to lose a few pounds?
Yeah, I would exercise, yeah. I remember when I was in Washington, I was doing this step stool thing in the basement of the Treasury, trying to lose weight. Well, we had a contest. It was who could win the most, lose the most weight. And I won.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I really worked at it, and it was a interesting thing. A step stool, you know, where you step up and step down all the time, is one of those crazy things.
Well, yeah. Are you surprised by how many people go to the gym now? The YMCA never used to be this busy.
Oh, they are so busy. I mean, I drive by there, and there's always a million cars there. And I think people are very concerned about their health, you know.
Do you think that we have a fear of death in this country? Because I always wonder, what drives people to want to get in shape, eat better? I think right at the end of it, it's we want to live longer.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably. We are living longer. And I think that you just don't want to get a bad disease, if possible. You try to keep yourself in good shape and eating the right food. And, you know, I think everybody's very aware of that anymore. I notice young people are.
During the holidays, we see a lot of sugary food. We see a lot of big, heavy carbohydrate dishes. Do you splurge at the holidays?
Well, I have to keep my sugar down, so I'm very conscious of that, and I was able to do that this year. I had no problem. We had a lot of wonderful food, I'll tell you. it was really good.
That's always nice.
Yes.
Is there a particular food that you cannot turn down that you know is not the greatest for you, but you just love it?
Oh, I love mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes.
And gravy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That seems to be a go-to for a lot of people.
Yeah, we all love our mashed potatoes.
Yeah. Did you do any cooking over the holiday season?
Well, I did make my gumdrop bars, and because Norma came from California, and I wanted her to have something to eat while she was there, and I made a custard. I hadn't made a custard for ages, and so that was the extent of it.
Unfortunately, you know, somebody departs, but having family and people come around, there's always a bright spot.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Was it nice to have everybody kind of back around during the holiday?
Oh, yes, of course. There's nothing any better than being with my family. Yeah.
When you have kids, no matter how old they get, do you still see them as little kids, or can you see them as adults?
Oh, I see them as adults. My grandchildren are in their 40s, you know.
Does that ever shock you to say?
Yes, well, my children are retired. So there you are.
What's the secret to the long life, Mary Ellen?
I have no idea. I don't know. It's a surprise to me. So you don't have any idea how long you're going to live. Nobody does, you know.
Do you think a lot of it comes down to luck? In the end, I mean, you want to take care of yourself, you want to do what you can, but in the end, is it just luck?
I don't know. I always thought it was, my mother gave me all these cod liver oil pills. I think that did it. I think it strengthened my heart, and I don't know if I'm right or not, but I took them religiously. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are certain things, and it is interesting. There's a generation that really did not grow up with all this fast food, and they're still around. And that generation does seem to be living a long time, which is good.
Yeah. Well, does that tell you that we do eat fast food, though, and I enjoy fast food.
Is there a certain place you like to go?
Yeah, I like all of them, really. I like to go to Arby's and Wendy's, and I go to McDonald's part of the time, too. I like their sausage biscuit.
Do you think that as we head into 2022 that things are going to calm down politically any? They haven't for years and years now, but do you think we're finally going to come?
No, it's not going to. It's going to get riled up again because the governor's race is going to be keep it hot and heavy. You know, that'll create it.
Do you think somebody else is going to get in this? I think they have until March. I think March is the cutoff point.
Sounds right, yeah.
But we have, on the Democratic side, we've got Nan Whaley and Mayor Cranley. And then on the Republican side, we've got, of course, Governor DeWine, and we've got Jim Renacci, and we've got Joe Blystone. Do you think anybody else is going to jump in and they're just waiting for the last moment?
Well, I rather doubt it, but I could be wrong. Then, of course, you know, we've got the Senate race, and that's a hot and heavy one, too.
Do you think that's one Democrats can take?
Yes, I do.
Why do you think for so long that's been a Republican territory?
Well, it is Republican down there. And I think Portman was not a real tough Republican. I felt that he was reasonable in his decisions. To an extent, we'll see what happens. It's hard to guess what will happen with anything because I'm continually surprised anymore at an election. I have been in the past. I've been very surprised at what happens.
Do you think because of the pandemic, the governor's race will be different?
I don't know if it'll affect that or not, but it seems to be causing people to be concerned in the presidential level. I don't know if it's affecting the state or not.
Is there anything Mike DeWine can do at this point? Because his primary challengers are just beating him up over his handling of the pandemic.
Well, I think he did the best he could on the pandemic, really. I know they're beating up everybody over that. I mean, you know, they pick something and away they go. I really don't know. I tell you, the guy runs a tough campaign. If you remember all of his campaigns, there's nobody any tougher campaigning than he is. I mean, he really goes at it. So we'll see what happens.
Do you think with possibly the support of former President Trump not laying with him this time, that could affect him?
It probably could. I don't know what's going to affect what, because you just can't really guess, you know.
Do you think that in Ohio, by and large, we have had good governors?
Well, we've had some good ones and some not so good. Yeah, I of course I was there when Celeste was in. I thought he was a great governor, and I was there when Voinovich was in, and he did all right, but he wasn't real great. Yeah.
What do you think the main focus of a governor should be?
Well, taking care of the people of Ohio. That's what they're supposed to do. And that's been, you know, this householder thing has been a big, big situation that I don't think's resolved yet. And they don't seem to be resolving it, are they? I mean, what's going on? I haven't heard a thing.
It's a different... A different time, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What do you make of all the hubbub around the January 6th, 2021?
Oh, I think they've got to keep at it and really send the people to prison that they can prove. They've got to really, they've really got to protect our democracy, because that's where it was really on. It was scary as heck, and it still is. I think they have to go to the top on that one.
I don't know that we had a conversation, I think, on the telephone after the last local elections here back in November. Really did not go well for the Democrats that night. Tom Pannett lost his position as city treasurer, and city council ended up, I think, with a 6-3 now split toward the Republicans.
Yeah.
What is going on in Marion, where we live, that can, this has been going on for 5 years now, this trouble that the Democrats are having?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are, and I can't really tell you what, I think we need some really strong Democrats in there really working hard. That's what it takes.
Was there a strong Democratic Party with a strong chairperson when you were running for office?
Yes, yes. Well, we had some really strong people here in Marion, and I'm trying to remember who the state chairman was. Right now, I can't remember who the state chairman was. And to be honest with you, I haven't met the new chairman. It's a woman from up around Akron. I haven't met her. I got two emails or messages. It was messages on my phone asking me to run for office. And I said, well, you need to check your Ohio history. And then the message came back, well, that's good, but I want you to help the candidates. I said, I help all the candidates. It was very interesting, from two different people in the Democratic Party that were, it was coming from the top down, you know.
So just asking you in
to,
general.
To because run for office.
To run for office.
Yes, yeah.
No, this might...
I don't think they know my age to start with.
Well, do you think it was an age confusion or a name confusion?
I think they were just emailing everybody under the... They were specifically talking about Marion, though, because they mentioned Marion. And they call me Mary. You know, when they call me Mary, they don't know me. And so it was somebody just trying to do their job. They probably set them down in front of a phone and said, call everybody you can think of here on the list.
Now, do you think herein lies the problem? That they just call people up and say, do you want to run for office?
Yeah, right. That I think that's a little strange.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have heard that this goes on in both parties, that if nobody is running for a particular seat, that the party will approach somebody.
Oh, yeah. That's done all the time.
But if you really don't have the interest to win or the interest to run and you're just doing it,
And that happens.
Yeah. I would think that would be very hard to win.
It is.
If it's not very...
It shows. When you run like that, it shows. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be difficult on anybody here in town, and not using any names, but when a party is so soundly defeated in a local election, do you have to look at the structure mm-hmm. of that party
right.
to say, what's going on here?
Right. You do. Yeah. Yeah. You try to figure out how you can solve this, and it's pretty hard to solve sometimes.
Well, it does seem that way. Do you think people, when they vote, know who the candidates are outside
of the... No, I don't think they... A lot of times they don't have any idea, yeah.
Now, how do we fix that? That seems to be a major issue.
Well, I don't know. As a party, you have to go to everything you can go to when you run for office locally and make yourself known. You go to all the club meetings, all the different organizations. I mean, it's very, very important that you attend everything possible. When I ran, not all the people that was running when I ran, we're doing that. I went to everything I could go to, and I think that's what you have to do. You just have to give it your all.
When you're starting out and people don't know your name, what is the best way to get it out?
Well, I decided to run the License Bureau. I said, everybody sees your name. You're on everything that's important, and that's what I did. The first time I ran, they didn't know me when I ran for clerk of courts, and that's why I went to the License Bureau and ran that for 3 years, and then I won with 64% of the vote for county treasurer.
We've talked not in depth about this, but at one point they wanted you to run for governor.
Yes.
When you were being chosen for Treasurer of the United States,
mm-hmm.
if you had run for governor, do you have an idea of who your opponent would have been?
Voinovich. Yeah.
Now, he would have been, was he an incumbent at that point?
Yeah, he was second term.
How difficult would that have been?
Very difficult. I wanted to be in the federal government. I wanted to see what it was like. I wanted to experience it, and that's the reason I went that direction, and I think it was the best direction.
Why does an incumbent always have an advantage, aside from name recognition?
Well, they've been there, and their name, of course, is said every day. I mean, the governor's got his picture in every government office, and they have a big advantage, and being in the office gives you an advantage. I mean, just from how you can get things out into the press and try to get your voice heard, it's very easy to do when you're the person in office.
A lot of people say that the kids now, because of the electronic media that they have available to their fingertips, really don't know much. Do you think if we went and asked a 17-year-old, a 15-year-old who the governor was, they would know?
I don't think they probably would. I don't know. It would be interesting to check that out, you know.
Are you surprised at the skepticism of government by young people? It seems to be in particular.
Well, they've had a lot to see happen that would make them that way. The last administration was a prime example of how a government shouldn't be run, and so they've observed all of that, and things. It's so hard to get anything passed, and they're witnessing that. You know,
since we talked last, both Colin Powell and Bob Dole passed away.
Yes.
And these were people who were movers and shakers when you were in Washington. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any thought or relationship with either one of those men?
Yes. Bob Dole and I were both speakers at the DAR. I sat on the stage with him and heard him speak, and I spoke, and that was my only time that I ever met him. And I never met Colin Powell, but I would like to have.
What did you make of Colin Powell, just knowing about his career?
Oh, I thought he was a wonderful person. I had a lot of respect for him.
Do you think had he run for president, which was the talk mm-hmm. at one point, mm-hmm. that he would have won? He was very popular at one point.
Yeah, he was very popular. I think the fact that he lied before the UN, I think, about the war, probably did him some pretty bad damage. I think that would have been a big problem.
When it comes to Bob Dole, he was obviously a staunch Republican his entire career, mm-hmm. but a lot of people say of Bob Dole, he knew how to compromise. That's something that people in Washington have no idea how to do now.
That's right, yeah.
Why is that?
Well, there were a lot of people that would compromise in the past. I mean, I can name a lot of them. And you just see the lines drawn, and it's been a very serious situation, really, in the last year. We've seen an example of, you know, really not speaking the truth. I mean, not recognizing that Joe Biden is the president. First of all, I mean, what's wrong with all these people, you know?
You know, we're a year into this now. How would you say Joe Biden has done?
I think he's done a good job. I think he had a lot of trouble with Afghanistan that's probably going to hurt him, but at least he did it. The others didn't have the guts to do it.
What do you think he needs to accomplish this year?
I think he needs to get the voting situation straightened out. I think that's upsetting a lot of people because they're worried about their voting rights, and we've got to keep that under control.
A lot of people say a president has 2 years when they first get in mm-hmm. to get something done. Mm-hmm. We're halfway through his first 2 years, and I don't think he's got that major legislation through yet.
No, we're only 1 year through.
1 year through.
Yeah, he's been in 1 year.
Do you think he'll be able, because I think this year we'll see elections in the Senate and the Congress, which could flip those houses.
It could, and maybe it will, maybe it won't. You don't know.
So does he really need to get something done this year before mm-hmm. the elections?
Yeah. He needs to get it done as soon as possible because you get into the election time of the year, and it's going to be very, very difficult. Yeah.
What would you say is his major? We knew with Obama, it was Obamacare. Mm-hmm. We knew with George W. Bush, it was Social Security. We knew with, I would say, Bill Clinton, that it was health care. What is it with Joe Biden?
Well, I think it's the pandemic. And he came in very strong on trying to get it taken care of, and it's been very difficult. It's a difficult disease, and you can't say he hasn't tried, but you can also say there's a lot of people that wouldn't get vaccinated because they wouldn't respect the fact that he was president. So there you are.
When you look at presidents of past, people like Lyndon Johnson and JFK and Eisenhower and Franklin Roosevelt, Truman, do you think they were more forceful people than the presidents we have now? That they were, you're kind of with us or against us, and I need to get this done?
Well, you know, I grew up with Franklin Roosevelt. And I look back at what he's accomplished, and it's truly amazing. You read his history, and he did not appear to be that great a manager before he became president. And then after he became president, he took a hold of everything that was happening and turned it around like you wouldn't believe. And he had a lot of battles. There were tremendous battles in Congress getting things through. But he did it, and it's just marvelous what he was able to accomplish.
Would you say he is the greatest president? He always rates very high on the list.
Well, he was, as far as I was concerned, until I had Bill Clinton, who appointed me. I would say I really thought he was a good president, too. Everything was being conducted properly when he was there, as far as the finances of the country. He had all of the things operating beautifully. And but I think Franklin Roosevelt would be the one I would say was the best. Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, there was a story about Hillary Clinton reading her what would have been her acceptance speech in 2016, and she got very emotional as she read this speech that she had prepared because everybody thought she was going to win, and of course she did not.
Yeah.
What did you make of her? Most people don't read speeches like that.
No.
Did you make anything of that?
Well, I thought it was good to do it, you know. You know, what was so interesting was to watch when Colin Powell was, or when, no, it was Bob Dole. I mean, when Bob Dole ran against her husband and the two women, I mean, Bob Dole's wife and Hillary, that was such an interesting thing to watch between the two of them, really.
And they both went on to become senators.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Dole and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Do you think that women in general are taking more of a forefront in politics?
Oh yes, I think they are. Yeah, we got a ways to go, but they're working at it.
What has been the holdup in you know, you would think we're in modern times. Why is it still more difficult?
Well, you're taking a step into the unknown, and it's hard to do.
When you run, what is the main thing you have to have on your mind, besides winning, obviously? What do you really have to pay attention to?
Well, you have to have a theme. I mean, you have to have a reason to run. It has to be a good one.
Do you think themes are hard to understand for a lot of people?
Well, it depends on the theme. You want something that everybody can understand. That's the number one thing. And I think sometimes, I don't always think that the Democratic Party has had a clear message in what they're trying to do, and I think that might be part of the problem.
When you were running for state treasurer, what was the thing you wanted people most to know about you when they went to the voting booth?
Well, the thing that, of course, the person that was there before, Gertrude Donahue, had an embezzlement, over $1 million embezzlement, and I wanted them to know that I had experienced it and I knew what to look for. Is what I really I knew that people were going to criticize me for that, and so I used that first. I mean, I came out with my problem first and said, "I know what to look for because I've experienced it."
What do you make right now of the constant need of employers needing to fill jobs that they cannot employ.
Yeah, it's a problem, evidently. I was listening this morning. The news had all these flights were canceled because everybody was not showing up for work or was sick, you know.
Well, it's very strange because a lot of people are blaming it on this extra unemployment money, but in Ohio, that stopped in July, I believe it was. And I saw an article in the Dispatch earlier in December, that said that when it stopped, most people didn't go back to work. It only changed like 2%.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know how or why or what is driving that.
It's hard to understand. My granddaughter changed jobs. She's in Arizona, and she works replacing people that are on vacation in like dentists and doctors and so forth. It's one of those type jobs. And she said, you know, she said there's a bunch of jobs out there. She said, if you want to change, she said, boy, now's the time to do it.
Did you ever think in your life about changing careers, changing paths?
No, I didn't. No, I just wanted to be a treasurer. Yeah.
Why was that so appealing?
I liked money.
Not a bad answer.
Well, and that was it. When I had the license bureau, I fell in love with taking care of people's money. And I just enjoyed that, really.
When you deal with other people's money, as we have seen locally and nationally, that's a very, you really have to know something.
Yeah.
How do you learn?
You stay on top of it and don't take anybody for granted, you know.
Do you think people, what happens now where people obviously do not learn and they just do things? That sometimes don't end up being right.
Yeah, well, we just saw that happen. Yeah, we had a big example of that here. And when you're elected to take care of people's money, you have to pay attention to what you're doing.
Is there any way you can learn if you don't know when you're going in?
Oh, yes, there's a million ways to learn. There's organizations... I said I learned as much from the County Treasurer's Organization as anything out there. And then there's the State Treasurer's, the same thing there. You learn tremendously. And I talked a lot to the Attorney General. I called and I would ask him to verify things if they were correct or not. And there's everything out there to take care of it for you. I mean, you just have to be working at it.
Is there a learning curve? Is it a hard learning curve to get everything down, to learn everything?
No, I don't think it's a hard learning curve. No.
Hopefully it all gets better this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Last year was a little bit of a rocky year.
Yes, it was.
When it came to that.
Yeah, right.
When you look at the city of Marion, being back here now for close to 10 years, hasn't it been?
Yes, 10 years.
10 years.
On the 11th of December, it was 10 years.
But being back for 10 years, what do you think? There's always room for improvement. What would you like to see happen in Marion?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think Marion is doing very well. It's improved a lot in the last few years, I think. And that's a hard question, Scott.
Do you think that we have, I've talked about this a lot, there was a generation of people who were their goal seemed to be not to make money so much, but to make the community better.
Yes.
The Oliver Hamiltons and the Madge Coopers and the Brown family and people like that. And I was thinking, well, who are those people today?
They're there. Yeah, there's a lot of really good people here. Yeah.
Do you think there are things that we can concentrate on that will have a... For example, downtown gets a lot of concentration. Now, not that that's a bad thing, mm-hmm. but do you think we're ever going to get to a point where we can say, okay, downtown is where we want it to be?
Well, you know, if we've got the mall out there that has taken all of the little shops and everything out of Marion, and I mean, when you look at Bucyrus, that's the reason they've got such a downtown. I mean, it's very obvious what has happened here, but I think the most important thing that we need to do as an individual is to be kind to people. I hear things that have happened in the last few days, and you just want to treat people fairly and kindly. Yeah.
Do you think that social media and the internet have taken away from this? We don't get together as much as we used to. We don't call people on the phone like we used to. It seems to have the whole social graces seem to be forgotten.
Well, I don't think they are, Scott. I think, you know, we still get together and talk to one another, and we have our clubs and things that we go to, and we're in touch and know how people are getting along, and that's very important.
Social clubs are interesting because that used to be a very, very big part of people's lives.
Yeah.
You had to be involved in a social club, no matter
right.
a garden club, rotary,
yeah.
whatever it was.
Right.
A lot of those clubs have went by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think caused that?
Well, I think television had a lot to do with it. People didn't want to miss television programs, and they wouldn't go to meetings as much. But, you know, I just joined this book club that's been in existence for 127 years in Marion. They first started at the women's club home. They wore white gloves and hats and drank tea. We don't get together now. We just read the books. But think of that, a book club that's been in existence for 127 years.
That's a great club.
That's a long time.
We have this event coming up at the Women's Club, the dancing event,
yes.
I believe in February.
Yeah, that's a big event.
Yeah.
yeah.
Now, are you excited for that event?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a great, they had a great idea there, and they're doing it every year, and that's important.
It's become a great success for them.
Yes, and what they've done to that Women's Club home is unreal. I mean, it went from being really in kind of bad shape to being really special, you know.
You know, there is a lot of history in Marion, and I think other towns say that. But really, we have a president, first
yes,
lady,
yeah.
a lot of important things here
right.
that hopefully more people will become aware of.
That's right.
Having started out on the school board, what do you make with all the news we're seeing about schools as of late?
Yes, they're taking a lot of hits on things. It's so hard to have everybody happy. It's so hard.
Do you think there is any common ground? I know there are a lot of new school boards that are going to take form after the first of the year, and there are already newspaper articles that have been written, op-eds.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
It looks like it's going to be tough if you read if you read things in the newspaper.
Yeah, I think I don't know if you'd want to be on a school board right now or not.
What do you make of the whole resistance that we still have to masking? That became a big issue in 2021.
It's political.
Mm-hmm. How did a mask become political?
Well, the same way getting shots became political. It's all tied together.
As we head into 2022, is there anything left you still want to do in life that you have not done?
Oh, I'm enjoying myself tremendously. Let's see, what do I want to do? I need to get down to Nordstrom's. uh, I don't know. Oh, I'm going to Arizona and visit my granddaughter sometime soon, and that's going to be fun. I don't know what all I'll do this year, but I'm staying busy. I'm enjoying myself.
Do you have any nervousness because of the pandemic?
No, I don't. It seems like I go over to lunch at Primrose and we're supposed to wear our masks, and somebody's getting it every once in a while, but they're not very sick because they've been vaccinated. So, I can handle that.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
No.
Well, Mary Ellen, I'm so glad to see you.
Yes.
I'm so glad we were able to get together. It was busy time during the holiday season.
Yes, yeah, it was really busy, but that's the way it goes.
And next year, we'll get you in the fruitcake toss, and we'll have fun with that.
Yeah, right.
Mary Ellen Withrow, one of the great ladies here in Marion, certainly, I think Fred Malone calls her the First Lady of Marion, and I think that's probably right. I would go along with that, and one of the truly kind ladies. We're going to take a break here and come back with much more after this timeout. Don't go anywhere.
Programs, and yeah, I just invite you to really come and get plugged in. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, and our phone number there is 740-494-2222. If you call and leave me a message, I promise I'll get back with you. God bless everybody. Have a good day, and we'll hear you as you call in and have some questions for us on the radio, and invite you to do that all the time at 740-383-9944.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address, 400 Delaware Avenue, phone number 740-387-9050. Programs on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are brought to you by Williams Grass Cutters. Telephone number 740-272-0062. Website, williamsgrasscutters.com. Facebook page at Williams Grass Cutters. Email w.grasscutters@gmail.com.
And here's your sports update for Friday morning, Christmas Eve, December 24th. The River Valley Girls Vikings basketball program defeated the London Red Raiders 51-29. The Cardington Lincoln Pirates defeated the Mount Gilead Indians 54-31 in girls varsity action. The Ridgedale Rockets boys basketball program lost to the Van Loo Wildcats 74-38 on Wednesday night. The Elgin Comets boys team beat the East Knox Bulldogs 49-36. The Elgin girls lost to the North Union Wildcats 59-23. The Marion Harding boys team defeated the Kenton Wildcats 61-25. Tomorrow, the Cleveland Browns will face the Green Bay Packers at 4:30 on Fox. And that will do it today for your sports update here at WWGH 107.1. Again, my name is Mike. Have a wonderful Christmas Eve and Merry Christmas.
Adam the Computer Guy is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio, providing on-site and remote-based technical support, computer troubleshooting, and network setup for homes and businesses. Website, pctech.biz or adamthecomputerguy.com. Telephone number, 740-531-2326. Also available, mobile notary services anywhere in Mid or Central Ohio.
We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments. Marion's First Lady of Dance, Martha Dowse, is a legend, always loving and giving. For 25 years, Martha organized